America will not reject abortion until America sees abortion. Find out more next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We're joined by our Associate Director, Janet Morana. And I need to tell you right at the outset that the kind of things you're going to see on this program are particularly disturbing and graphic, because we're going to talk about what an abortion actually looks like. My friends, the reason that we want to talk about this is not to emotionally upset anybody, but to address the fact that the violence of abortion is hidden. And the reason it continues, for the most part, is because it is hidden. People don't see the reality of what an abortion does to a child. To know abstractly that it ends a human life is one thing, but to see it with our own eyes is something else. It is only that that makes us indignant enough to endure the sacrifices necessary to fight against this injustice. And Janet, isn't it true that that's the same dynamic we see in fighting against all kinds of other social evils, that's when the victim is visualized, that's when people wake up?
A perfect example is, people want to know, how did we get the child labor laws in this country? You know, how did we get kids 13, 14, 15 not allowed to work in factories and coal mines and sweatshops? Well, it was back in the turn of the last century when they were in those horrible conditions and those children were losing fingers and arms and feet. And there was a photographer that went in and took pictures of that and exposed it out there. And then the people, the public at large, was a public outcry saying, something has to be done. We have to stop this. And that's when the pressure was put on government to come about with these laws. Well, we're not going to do that with abortion unless people see what we're talking about. The media won't show it. It's the most common surgical procedure. And, you know, you turn on the science channels and the medical channels, and you see heart surgery, you see heart transplants, and yet they won't show an abortion. Well, unless, you know, we show this truth, we're not going to get people upset enough to say, this has got to end, this has got to stop.
We want to refer people, therefore, to our website, gospeloflife.com. And there's a particular page that introduces them to this whole topic. That's gospeloflife.com/images. Now, on that images page, people will be referred to galleries of these images, first of all, that they can see for themselves what an abortion looks like. And furthermore, some of the historical references that we're making right now to the child labor reform laws, for example, and other movements in history, including the civil rights movement, anti-slavery, and so forth, people will be able to find some articles outlining the strategy here of making the invisible victim visible for people so that they can understand more clearly what it is that we're fighting against. Now, on this images page, the various galleries of images include babies aborted in various trimesters of the pregnancy and by various methods. Now, some of these methods, of course, tear the baby apart limb from limb, and you'll actually see the body parts of the children. Other methods leave the baby intact and simply deliver a dead baby. The baby is either poisoned or killed by an induced delivery. Let me read some of the details of these various procedures, which yield the kind of results that we see in these photos. And the words I'm about to read were given under oath by abortionist Martin Haskell from Ohio. He testified in a case in Wisconsin in 1999. Now, he wasn't testifying because this activity is illegal. He was testifying as an expert witness in a case having to do with the ban on partial birth abortion. But what he's testifying about is completely legal activity. And he describes a procedure by saying, let's say, for instance, we took a different view, a different tact, and we left the leg in the uterus just to dismember it. Well, we probably have to dismember it at several different levels because we don't have firm control over it. So we would attack the lower part of the lower extremity first, remove, you know, possibly a foot, then the lower leg at the knee, and then finally we get to the hip. Now, what do you notice about a quote like that? He's talking about identifiable body parts.
Right. I mean, what he's saying is we are literally ripping this, what was an alive baby, you know, just needed to stay inside his mom a little bit longer to be born, and they're literally torturing this child as they're ripping the parts one by one.
He also says, when the abortion procedure is started, we typically know that the fetus is still alive, either because we can feel it move as we're making our initial grasps, or if we're using some ultrasound visualization, when we actually see a heartbeat as we're starting the procedure. See a heartbeat as we're starting the procedure. And then he talks about the removal of the head. He says, when you're doing a dismemberment D&E, usually the last part to be removed is the skull itself, and it's floating free inside the uterine cavity. It's rather like a ping pong ball floating around. And the surgeon is using his forceps to reach up to try and grasp something that's freely floating. And then he says that finally, the head is grasped, and he says, quote, typically, the skull is brought out in fragments, rather as a unified piece. This is, do we really need any other proof that abortion is violence than simply quoting the words of those who do it and seeing the pictures?
I know. I mean, it's so obvious. And see, I think that's the problem, is that people use that word abortion, it's lost all meaning. They really don't clearly understand it. And so, therefore, you know, we have to get to this level where we have to tell them, this is what we're talking about. And is this what you want to have as legal activity here in the United States? I mean, we're exporting abortion all over the world. You know, the United States is the example. We can't do better than this, than to have this child killing continue in this country.
We have a clip that we want to share with people now from our friend Dr. Byron Calhoun. He is an expert in maternal fetal medicine, which, of course, is that subspecialty of obstetrics that deals with complicated pregnancies and talks about the relationship between the mother and the child biologically and physiologically. Anyway, Dr. Calhoun was recently joined us to examine the remains of two babies who were aborted by a different procedure in which labor was induced. The babies were not dismembered, but nevertheless, they were killed by the abortion procedure. Let's listen and watch as Dr. Calhoun shows us the results of these two abortion procedures.
We're asked to come here today to discuss two babies who were delivered prematurely and to discuss and describe what we find. This is a baby who looks like it was delivered at approximately 14 weeks of gestational age from last menstrual period. We know this by the size of the baby and the features that we see. You can see that this baby has a normal appearing face and fused eyes, which are consistent with this. The ears look somewhat low placed, but that's because the baby's only 14 to approximately 15 weeks in gestational age. The feet and hands, as you can see, if you get a look at them, have five fingers and toes and nice delicate creases in them. The limbs are normal, and the baby's back appears normal also. There is some skin slippage as you see this on the side of the head here, and also perhaps a little bit on the side of the head on this side a little bit. The cord has been cut approximately 10 centimeters here and looks normal. The abdomen appears normal on this baby. Now you notice that the baby does not look the same everywhere. There are some dark areas and there are some lighter areas here, you notice on the bottom of the buttocks of the baby. That is consistent most likely with a prostaglandin type of an abortion, which cause what we call tetanic or very hard type of contractions. And these bruise the baby significantly, and that's why you see this darkened or bruised appearing features on this particular baby. Most of these babies actually are born alive. This baby may not have, because of the bruising and some of the skin slippage. This could have been consistent with this baby dying prior to birth. However, again, as we note, there are no defects in this baby. This is not a baby who was aborted. It does not appear for genetic or structural abnormalities just by visual inspection. This is our second baby that we see. As you can note, by a comparison of these babies, it's important to note this, that side by side, there is a significant amount of difference here. This baby is more consistent with an 18 to 20-week gestation. And we know this by the size of, from the bottom to the head. We notice with the more complex and more refinement of the features. The ears, if you notice, look more normal in placement. The eyes still are fused, which is consistent with this gestational age. The face is more delicately formed. You can actually get a better impression that this baby was actually more well-preserved and probably was born alive. There's much less bruising in the face. There is still this darkness that we saw previously and we noted. If you notice, the umbilical cord is cut much shorter, approximately 2 centimeters from the insertion site. And the genitalia in this baby appear female. It looks like that we can actually tell that. And that really gives us the indication that this is an older baby. Sometimes very difficult before 16 or 17 weeks to see sex. This baby appeared male. We see the beautiful hands and fingers of this baby. We can see the delicate palmar creases on the child. We see the feet and the hands and the toes are very well formed. If we turn the baby over, the baby's back has no defects. It appears very normal with that bruising that we noticed previously. And there does not appear to be any visual abnormalities to this baby either. Inside the lips, there's no palatal defects or cleft lip or palate. And again, this baby was probably born alive just by the way the baby appears. And by the way in which the modeling is, and there's less than there is on this baby, there's no skin slippage or anything of that nature. And again, more like 18 to 20 weeks, and this baby more like 14 to 15 weeks. You look at babies who died by saline, they actually have more of a burned appearance and actually appear red, and they actually have significant amounts of skin slippage. It's like the skin is being peeled off the babies, and these babies do not demonstrate any of that. So it's unlikely that that has been done. Also, over the last 10 to 15 years, very few saline abortions have been done because of the risks to the mother. There's significant mortality rates with the fluid shifts with the saline itself. These look more like, again, the prostaglandins or the injections that are done with that, and that's why you see the bruising on the babies. Well, looking at the preservation of the babies and how nicely preserved the babies are, even in formalin or the formaldehyde, you'll see significant degradation or significant deterioration in the babies and their skin and their features. These babies are actually very well preserved, so they've been in formalin nicely preserved, but I also think they haven't been in there that long because there's not much deterioration, especially in this baby, at all compared to this baby. So my guess is somewhere in the last 5 maybe years or so, because they're very well preserved. But you will get deterioration over time, even in formalin. Well, there's really 2 types of abortions. There's the surgical abortions, which are done with instruments where you would place certain things, say laminaria or things to dilate the cervix, send the patients home for overnight, generally to 24 hours, bring them back then and do a forcible dilatation with instruments through the cervix into the uterus, and then do a cutting procedure or dismember the babies, essentially is what you do, and pull the babies out by pieces. Now, these babies are very well preserved, so these babies would have been, I would consider, medical type abortions. Medical abortions are generally done with what are called prostaglandins. Prostaglandins are naturally occurring substances that aid in labor when moms are at term with the aid of the natural hormones. There are powerful prostaglandins that cause, as I call them, describe them, tetanic, very, very strong contractions, and work very, very well early on in gestation, as well as can be used later in gestation for ripening. But these are the kind that are very powerful that are placed either vaginally, or they can be given intramuscularly, or they can be taken orally, and these cause rapid contractions. And given every 2 to 4 hours, will then expel the baby, and just like a labor, essentially, and have very hard contractions, which is why you get this bruising in these babies because of these powerful contractions in the delicate skin in a premature baby. So those are the 2 types, the surgical with instruments and dilation and basically taking the babies apart, and then the medical where the babies are born intact. Now, the risk, obviously, to a medical abortion for the abortionist is that these babies are born alive often, and I think that's what this baby was. And they can live for several minutes to hours, even at this gestational age, without being able to breathe. They have a heartbeat for many, many minutes to hours after delivery.
Well, that's quite sobering, isn't it, Janet?
And, you know, the amazing thing is, unfortunately, what happens in those cases is a lot of times doctors are counseling a mother, they're diagnosing the baby has some sort of defect, which still shouldn't be a reason to have an abortion, but this is what they're doing. And the babies, like Dr. Calhoun just examined, are those kind of cases where the mother was told, you know, there might be something wrong with this baby, and they decide to abort it. You know, so what they do is they induce an early delivery. And the baby, basically, you know, the bruising and the things you saw is because that baby is being hurt and damaged through this early delivery.
The images, by the way, that the babies Dr. Calhoun was just showing us are available also on the images that we talked about at gospeloflife.com/images. You can see those babies. Now, we also have, we constantly receive emails, as you know, and letters from people who have been changed in their thinking as a result of seeing these images on our website. I want to read two examples of that, recent emails that we received. One says, I have been pro-abortion. After seeing the pictures of what it exactly was, I nearly cried, thinking I supported this awful murder. I ask Jesus, my Christ, to forgive my past way of thinking. I finally get it. And then another teenager wrote to us and said, hello, I'm a 16-year-old female, and I just finished looking at the pictures on your site and reading what actually happens during an abortion. Up until 5 minutes ago, I was extremely pro-choice. But within 3 minutes of viewing your website, my face was covered in tears. Those pictures just really hurt to look at. But I cannot express how grateful I am that you have shown me the truth about abortion.
And you see, right now, people who are viewing this might say, you know, this is terrible that they're showing this. I feel so uneasy about this. And I have to say, you know what? Lives have been saved, and we know this, by people seeing these images. So for anyone out there right now that's feeling a little uneasy, if one life is being saved right now because of this show, it's worth it all.
And I guarantee you lives are being saved right now because of this. And that's where we want to invite people to use these images. People can email their friends, for example,
right,
a link to the page, just gospeloflife.com/images. Anybody that you're arguing with about abortion or who's not sure whether it's right or wrong, just say to them, look, whether you think it's right or wrong, let's first take a look at what it is. See, because showing the pictures is not saying it's either right or wrong. It's just saying what it is. And if you're going to argue about something, you have to start by looking at what it is that you're arguing about. So to email these images and the links to these images is a very powerful way. And people are free to download these, to print them. They belong to anyone who wants to use them in order to spread the message of life.
That's right. And we'll also make available Dr. Calhoun's testimony there, along with other footage that we do have, so they can just contact us for Gospel Life.
My friends, America will not reject abortion until America sees abortion. You can justify practically anything by the clever use of words, but pictures put everyone on a level playing field and bring us face to face with the truth. Don't be afraid to face the truth. Don't be afraid to challenge others to face the truth so that this evil may end. Stick with us now, because after these announcements, we'll be back with our action segment.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in Haley, and you can too. Call or go online today.
Do you realize that every 23 seconds a baby is killed by legal abortion in this country? But you know, you can do something to save those lives. At Gospel Life Ministries, we have a bulletin insert called You Can Save Someone's Life Today, and we make this available absolutely free for your church. And it doesn't matter how many bulletins you print. Suppose you print 1,000, 2,000, we'll send it to you free. And in this insert, You Can Save Someone's Life Today are the resources that you need to reach out and help a girl. Suppose you hear of a girl who's pregnant and in need. We have the hotline numbers where that girl can receive help right in her own community. And we're talking about medical expenses paid, a place to live if necessary, job opportunities. She doesn't have to feel that her only way is to go to an abortion mill. And also, if you know someone who is hurting from an abortion, we want to bring them back to the healing and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this bulletin insert are the ministries there, toll-free numbers that are waiting in open arms to receive her back the help and healing. And in addition, you can inform your church community about facts about abortion. And then finally, you can get involved. You can help us and join hands in saving those lives, because in this bulletin insert are action items so that everybody can help save a life today. thank you. Call us at our toll-free number.
Prayer is essential to everything we do as Christians. The Lord Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." That's why we at Gospel of Life have launched a national prayer campaign to end abortion. We've composed a simple prayer that you can say each and every day. And that prayer is available at prayercampaign.org on the internet. You can say this prayer with your family. You can bring it to your pastor. Some pastors, in fact, have placed this prayer in the church bulletin or on the inside of their parish hymnals. In whatever way you can promote this prayer, you'll be adding more and more believers to this great campaign to ask the Lord to bring an end to abortion in America and to commit ourselves to do what He wants us to do to achieve that goal. Join the National Prayer Campaign to End Abortion at prayercampaign.org. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank. Gospel of Life Ministries, Priests for Life, and the National Pro-Life Action Center are ready, willing, and able to come to your church, conference, convention, prayer group, Sunday school, or pro-life event. Dynamic, seasoned, and experienced speakers, teachers, and presenters are available. Renowned leaders such as Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life, and President of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Janet Morana, Associate Director of Priests for Life and co-founder of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, together with pastoral associates Dr. Teresa Burke, the founder of Rachel's Vineyard, and her husband Kevin Burke, counselor and social worker, Jim Pinto, pro-life pioneer, and our clergy, Reverend Dennis Wild, Reverend Peter West, and Reverend Walter Quinn, are prepared to preach and teach in your church about how to end the tragedy of abortion, minister to those suffering from abortion, help train and organize your pro-life group, lead retreats, and much, much more. To schedule a speaker in your area, call the Speakers Bureau at 888-735-3448, extension 258, or email us at speakers@gospelOfLife.com. The waiting is over. The time for action is now. Schedule an inspiring speaker for your area.
Welcome to our action segment, where I'm joined by Janet Morana, our associate director. And we have a special painting to tell you about today that you can promote in order to spread the pro-life message. Janet?
Yes, the painting is called Earth's Trash, Heaven's Treasure. And this painting was done by the artist Carol Hall. And she actually is an evangelical missionary. And her husband currently are in Japan, where they're doing bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to missionaries as a missionary spirit in Japan. But she painted this painting a number of years ago, made it available to us at Gospel of Life. And we've now created a great poster of this painting. And her whole hope is that it will help spread the message of the damage abortion is doing, the killing of the children. And we'd like to encourage people now to take a look at this poster. And as we're describing it, I'd like them to think of ways and places that they might hang this inspiring painting and really get people to think about the abortion issue and what is going on.
Basically, the photo is divided into two scenes, Earth's scene on the bottom and Heaven's scene on the top. Earth's trash, heaven's treasure, refers to babies. And you see at the bottom a garbage bin where outside of an abortion mill where babies who have been aborted are literally thrown away. And we know that this has literally happens. The babies thrown away on Earth are nevertheless received by Jesus, named, and welcomed into the playground and the nursery of heaven.
And that's what you see there, you know, in the painting, is that the angels are taking the babies out of the dumpster, basically, and bringing them up to the Lord Jesus, wrapped in a yellow blanket, signifying God's glory. And there's the Lord there welcoming the babies into heaven.
Now, besides that contrast between earth and heaven, you also see another contrast right within the scene on earth. Because while the abortion mill is a place of sadness, and you see that the girl who's leaving has sadness on her face, and we've talked very often on Gospel of Life about the sadness that abortion brings, nevertheless, next to, or across rather, from the abortuary is a toy store full of life and joy and surprises. And in front of the toy store, you see a green tree blossoming. But on the other hand, the tree in front of the abortuary has no leaves on it and no life.
Right. And then, of course, you know, as the Lord Jesus is accepting the babies up into heaven from the angels, he's giving them each a name and blessing them. And while those children had no name on earth, they now have a name with the Lord in heaven.
Now, how can people use a beautiful painting like this?
Well, you know, so often people say, well, you know, we don't want to have a pro-life billboard here in our church, or we don't want to have a poster in a school. It might upset people. But this painting is so pleasing to the eye, so beautiful to behold, yet it gives such a powerful imagery that they can put this in their church vestibule, in their school hall, in their center where they have a collation after services, as many places as they can think of. This poster can hang, and there, just people gazing upon it itself, it will get the message across about what abortion is doing to these children.
If they contact us directly at gospeloflife.com, we can send this to them in any quantity that they wish.
That's right. And at the same time, getting that poster from us at the same time helps support the missionary work of the Evangelical Church in Japan, Carol Hall. We still, you know, make a little small donation to her, too. And so, therefore, they're actually supporting missionary work in Japan at the same time, plus giving a pro-life message.
The painting can be viewed more extensively, and the written explanation that we've just briefly touched upon can be read in its fullness on our website, again, gospeloflife.com.
That's right.
Well, thanks, Janet, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. If you want to listen to our programs online, you can receive the audio of Gospel of Life on gospeloflife.com. And also, when you go to our website, you'll see that you can send us your questions, your comments, your suggestions, your witnesses and testimonies, and we may well call you back and have you as a call-in guest on our program. Go to gospeloflife.com, and you'll see how to reach us. Also, brothers and sisters, we rely on the financial help of people just like you to get these programs out, to assist spreading pro-life literature to the churches, beautiful paintings like the one we've described to you today, and many other works that are saving lives from the tragedy of abortion. So consider Gospel of Life Ministries as part of your giving for the kingdom of God. We thank our friends at Life Dynamics for letting us use their studios here in Denton, Texas. And we invite you to join us again next week on Gospel of Life. Spread the word to your family and friends, and let's pray for one another.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank, and I hope you've been encouraged and challenged today. If you and others you know, perhaps a prayer group, Bible study, Sunday school, or pro-life group, want to know more about Gospel of Life and how people of faith united together can build the culture of life, call us at 888-735-3448. Visit us on the web at www.gospeloflife.com or email us at info@gospeloflife.com. You can write to us at Gospel of Life, P.O. Box 60038, Staten Island, New York, 10306.